First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confirmed.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, December 19th, 2021. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host Wombat on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
I can't cop the hair from coming out. It keeps coming out. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, if you can stop it, let me know. We'll make $1 million.
Yeah.
And our guests today are Boudreaux from Eastern Kentucky, or from Kentucky. Hello, Boudreaux. Hadn't seen you in a while.
Hey.
George Brown, 2.5, formerly from Brooklyn. Hello.
Hello.
Dread Pirate Higgs. Canada.
From the Great White North.
That's right. And Lee John Richards from across the pond. Hello, hello.
Hello.
And we have a new guest, Sky from Texas. Welcome to the show, Sky.
Thank you. Hello.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in town, well, I'm swear you're just not. In Knoxville, we have a group of over 1,000 of us, and we're a small Tennessee town.
Larry, there's no swearing allowed. We just had a conversation about this. You just said you swear or we're not.
Oh.
We're not alone.
This is radio, but I can use the word swear, I'm sure. We'll tell you more about the Atheist Society of Knoxville after the mid-show break. Well, Matt, what are we going to be talking about today? It's Christmas.
We're going to be talking
week,
about
so
the story.
It has to be about Christmas, I bet.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's the story of Christmas that we're talking about today. And we're going to get into some meat and potatoes. I would like to make some comments. We got a new person in, and we're almost near Brady Bunch capacity in terms of our layout.
Yeah.
But I did want to give out some highlight and some awesome comments. First of all, John Richards, I see you upgraded the castle in your background. Very nice. I think that's Keeper. That'll be great.
I've promoted myself to Lord, and I'm House very of nice. Lords.
Very, very nice. Boudreaux, it's also really, really nice to have you on the show as well. It's been a while, but you're always welcome on.
Sure.
George, looking good. You're looking light. You must have lost weight, buddy. And Sky, I'd love to get into your backstory, but before we get into all of that, I'd like to throw it up to our own Dread Pirate Higgs for our weekly invocation.
All right. Our noodly lord, who art in a colander, al dente be thy noodles, thy blood be rum, thy sauce be yum, with meat as it is with vegetables. Give us this day our garlic bread, and forgive us our cussing, as we forgive those who cuss against us. And lead us not into ketoism, but deliver us some carbs, for thine are the noodles, and the sauces, and the grog, whenever and ever.
Ramen.
You know, Dredd, I've actually found some noodles that are carb, more or less carb. I don't want to say they're carb free, but they're at least low, super low in calories. They're konjac noodles. I just got them on Amazon, and like a whole packet's only 5 calories. That's going to blow my mind. I'll let you know how they turn out. I know it's insane, right? They also make rice that's like a pound is only like 5 grams or 5 calories. It's like, how is this possible? It's insane. But I am going to be getting you some highly caloric Fruity Pebbles in the mail. Be ready for that,
Dredd. Sweet. Yes.
Guys, we have a new guest. I'd like to throw it up to Sky. Sky, tell us about yourself and what's your Christmas situation like?
Okay. I am an atheist. I was raised in an atheist household. My Christmas situation is that I love secular Christmas. I love all the grand old pagan traditions. Unfortunately, we will not be having Christmas this year because my mother is still afraid of COVID, so the family won't be getting together.
That's interesting. For you, Christmas is being with your family, like because that's why you aren't having Christmas, right?
Yeah.
I get that.
My atheist grandparents always threw big to-dos for Christmas, and it was the whole family. We got 20 people there.
Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, COVID's put a sore stir. Boudreaux, what's your Christmas situation like?
Well, I have kids, so Christmas is a big deal for us, and it's fun, and you know, it's very secular. But we do tree and presents, and we'll visit with Kristen's parents and her sister there in town. So it'll be a small gathering.
We're not Kristen's parents are also atheists too, right? Isn't that Buffalo Bill?
Father is, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So it's nice. Christmas has always been a big deal for me as a kid too. My mom just spoiled us rotten as kids, and that always made me just enjoy Christmas that much more. So a lot of presents under the tree for the kids. So
not bad, not bad, not bad. For me, I had a Christmas birthday nearby. So you get the combination of the December, early December gifts, and then the Christmas gifts. So it's a slow trickle, and it's never anything big. So it's not a lot that you have to wait for. I kind of have like a nicotine patch in terms of getting presents throughout December. John Richards, what's your Christmas situation? And how have you been, my friend?
We do the traditional Christmas. You know, we've got a tree, flickering lights, presents underneath it. We will have a Christmas lunch. And then, of course, we'll sit and listen to the Queen's message.
No, we won't. There's a Queen's message every year? Is that,
yes.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Like State Canada. Of the Union, State of the Christmas?
Yeah, is that a State of the Union?
It's more of a... It's a non-political speech, obviously, and she's just reporting on the year and wishing all the members of the Commonwealth, because don't forget, we may not be an empire, but we still have a Commonwealth. And in fact, other countries have been voluntarily joining it. But she just gives us all a nice, homely message.
A nice little pat on the back.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I hear that in Abu Dhabi... for the first time, they're going to have a do. So will it be the Abu Dhabi do?
Okay. All right. Dredd, in Canada, do you also get a broadcast of the Queen's message as well? Does it reach across the seas?
No. Well, not to this household anyway. No, we've been slowly, my wife and I have just over the last few days been opening a gift that we've given to each other, one a day. Oh. This morning after the show, I am leaving for the Great White North, where I'll be working for some wealthy people doing security. So it's a 5,000 acre ranch I'm heading up to. It's going to be pretty groovy.
Now, is this for a movie?
No, this is a different security outfit. There's some familial issues that they need security detail for.
This is very, very, very.
We have to do it.
It's very interesting.
Very covert.
I'm actually going to be on a gator. I'll be armed because you know, aside from any security issues, there's lots of cougars up there. Sure. So I'm going to have to be on my guard. But it's a 9-10 hour drive I'll be undertaking today. So cross your fingers for me, and we'll pray to the noodly Lord that I make it.
Yeah, I didn't know what kind of cougar he was referring to, but no, it makes sense. No, I thought I was like, it is a reality TV show. Yeah. Okay, well, say hi to the little ladies for me.
You watch out for those predatory women. They like it.
That's right.
He's armed and dangerous, ladies. It's true. Yeah. George, would you mind giving me a fill-in? How's your holiday season looking?
Very uneventful. I am in my armchair study of psychology. I confess that there is one Google service that I am addicted to. Actually, one and a half. Okay. And the one service I'm addicted to is YouTube.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of good information, armchair psychology information, and not such armchair. So good stuff coming up professionally. And a lot of people are hard to understand. Their sound is bad. YouTube presenters. So I am setting up a little hi-fi system to plug into my computer so that I can understand these people better.
And you know, they have closed captions, right? You could just turn those on.
Well, but the closed captions often are muffled themselves, you know, when the people are so hard to understand. I have to boost the speech frequency.
Yeah, I hate it when I have to turn up the volume on closed captions. They don't really don't make any noise at all. It's a serious problem.
What I'm doing, my task right now is that I am painting a pair of old Radio Shack's small speakers to use in this task. So that's my big confession right
now. I love the long-term projects you're always on, George. It's always something.
George.
Yeah. John.
When you turn up the volume on the captions, do they go from lowercase to capital?
Well, the word gets bigger.
Ah, okay. There we go. Guys, that was a great tangent. Larry, I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on you. How's your Christmas holiday looking?
Oh, it's just going to be a small family affair. We're really calling off the big gatherings due to COVID. It wouldn't be so bad, but we've got people who are saying that they're vaccinated when we know they're not. So we're just
not
doing it. And Sheila and I are 70-ish, so that's a lot of problem.
Mm. Yeah, I don't want to even mess with that. I'm in Tennessee. There's a lot of friends that are having parties like around this time. And it's just like, I know for a fact that some of these people who are going to these or like the proponents, poster children of anti-vaxxing. And I don't want to hang out with them when I'm about to be on an extended break. Likewise, I don't want to bring the biome that I'm in Tennessee out to my mom. And she's in Virginia. And I know Tennessee is like the hotbed right now. So I'm just saying, hey, we'll do video. We'll give it one more year. And I'm sure we'll catch up later on. Hey, what's up, little girl? All right, guys, we're talking about the story of Christmas from an atheist perspective and sanity of Christmas from an atheist perspective. Larry, would you mind setting the tone?
One thing first is we said we were going to get back to Sky after we did our introductions. And we
That's right, my bad.
So, Sky, can you tell us a little bit about what it's like there in your corner of Texas for an atheist?
It's awkward.
Yeah.
Okay.
San Antonio is a very Catholic city, a very churchy city.
Also pretty liberal, though.
Well, I don't know. I've lived other places, so I don't find it all that liberal.
Oh, okay.
But Austin is right up the road. Austin is very liberal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Austin has a great atheist community.
There's a secular humanist oasis opening up there in January too.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Well, if you run into Matt Dillahunty, say I said hi.
Mm-hmm. I sure will.
Yep. But he won't know who I is. That's the weirdest.
Dread Pirate Higgs. He knows.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Matt Dillahunty is in hospital having his heart operated on right now.
Oh,
is
no. He?
Really?
Well.
Oh, wish him well.
Sending good vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good thoughts.
Absolutely. Anyway.
We have faith in doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Not only faith, but also good, reliable science in it, too.
Of course.
I did want to make some, I did want to have some things to touch on. Sky, how long have you been in Texas? And then I guess, is it hard for you to admit that you're an atheist in that time, particularly in this holiday season?
No, it's not. I realize that there is a lot of stigma sometimes attached to being an atheist. And I really like to let people know and to be a good role model to show them that you really can be good without God.
Mm. Awesome. Sure.
That's very important to me.
That's good.
Yep.
Dredd, would you say, you know, as you're driving arm through the Gators, or I'm sorry, through the Cougars, right? Just knocking back left and right, or however you're doing it.
Yeah.
Do you feel in this holiday season as a Pastafarian, but also as an atheist at the same time too, like, do you feel any additional pressure to keep yourself, you know, in the back burner while the Christians have their holiday, and then give yourself more time to step forward? What do you think?
I'm a realtor. It was one of my professions. And just recently they were going to you know, they advertised a virtual party, a Christmas party. And it was heavy Christian theme there. And then I spoke up to my managing broker and said, hey, look, I'm one of the 69% of people who are not Christians. And so, you know, with all due respect, it would probably be better all around for everyone if we did this as a secular holiday. Otherwise, I'm just not interested in participating. And he was really good. He came back and he says, you know what? You are absolutely right. We ought to do this in a secular fashion because, as you point out, 69% of people are not Christian. There's right. all kinds mm-hmm. of faiths out there, and we cannot assume our realtors are all of the Christian faith, even though they might celebrate Christmas and all that good stuff. So yeah, so it was nice that I stood up, and it was nice that he acknowledged that and made changes accordingly. So I was really appreciative.
Very cool.
That's really good. Good story. Boudreaux, I'm going to throw a softball at you. You just, when I asked you what Christmas was, you know, I heard Sky talk about family, but I heard you only talk about presents. That just shows Christmas is getting way too capitalized. We should get right back to our Christian roots on Christmas, right? Like, isn't that the most important thing? And what's all this tree and pagan stuff that you got? Like, pull out a Bible, throw out a New Testament up there. Let's celebrate the true good story.
I mean, we need the tree, because where else are you going to put the presents?
yeah. Do you feel like Christmas as it is if it moves towards more capitalist centric than religious centric, is that an improvement in your book?
I mean, I guess I don't feel like capitalism's replacing the Christianity of it. I think there are plenty of people that, you know, it's the only time of year they go to church, and you know, there a lot of times you'll have a big gathering and that's when you say grace, and you know, and I don't know, the capitalist side, it's hard for me to think of that as bad, because again, I have just such warm memories as a kid of Christmas, and you know, we try to make it to where the kids just really, really look forward to it, and you know, a lot of times we'll try to make sure we get them practical gifts as well as cool, fun things too. So you know, they're getting
practical gifts.
Yeah, well, but if you mix them in cleverly,
get the right practical gift, it could be really useful. Yeah.
I mean, you get socks for Christmas, but you get cool socks with dinosaurs on them or something, you know. Anyway, but yeah, so I don't know. Is it too capitalist? Should we be, maybe one of the things we did start, and maybe this is a better way to look at it. One of the things we did start this year is that we are going to every Christmas make sure we go to givewell.org and kind of do good there. And then we've got some local charities that we want to give to, but it's there you go, Ty. That's
just some giving
it.
Back there.
Yeah.
So. Nice. Reminder for the kids to give back a little bit.
Sure. Oh yeah. And definitely we involve the kids. They help pick the right, you know, the charities. So yeah.
I'll transition to John Richards. Listen, Christmas was never secular. So the idea of a secular Christmas is an affront. It's an attack on Christmas. Wouldn't you agree? Isn't it obvious that if we have a secular Christmas, we are literally taking away the entire point of Christmas in the first place? And why are you, as Lord of Atheists, laughing right now? And you're in agreement with this, right? Like, it's shows being recorded. We agree that we are attacking Christmas systematically each year. Are we in agreement?
Not at all. No. I was taught way back when I was at school that the pagan midwinter festival that we celebrated in the Northern Hemisphere since before the days of Christ. I mean, I think that Yule and Saturnalia, depending on which part of Northern Europe you came from, was a couple of hundred years pre-Christ. And what happened was the Romans commandeered most of Europe and decided to adopt Christianity as the state religion and then imposed it on our existing festivals. So they stole Saturnalia for their evil Christian purpose.
So you're saying two rights make a wrong. We're just stealing it back. That's it. Is that what it is?
No, I'm saying I want it back. Give us back Saturnalia.
Oh, give us back just the pagan holiday. Let's just celebrate that. We may even have more fun with it. The songs might even be better. Well, to be honest with you, I'm a little tired of that Celine Dion soundtrack over and over and over again. Hey, what's up, Dredd?
There was all the good bits in Saturday.
Oh.
You know, the drinking, the eating, the fire, the dancing, the gifts. We didn't need any of that other nonsense.
Yeah, get rid of it. Dredd, what's up?
I was just going to say, if anyone's looking for a good thing to donate on Christmas to, Pastafarians are involved in a thing called Kiva. And I don't know if you guys have heard of this. Kiva is a platform where interest-free loans are made to persons in underdeveloped countries. And Pastafarians have donated $5,693,150. So if you want to be a part of that good thing, just go to Kiva and Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Wowee, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Listen, George, I know you were raised atheist. I know you consider yourself an organic atheist. I like to consider you an untainted, not born again atheist. But you grew up in New York. You saw the Rockefeller Center. Maybe you even saw that big tree. Like, could you tell me about the best, biggest Christmas event that you've been to?
No, I can't, because don't forget that I come from a Jewish heritage. To me, I've been thinking about this today, which is why I proposed the subject, and because the anomalies just come hot and heavy to me. I mean, how can I put this? Okay, first of all, the occasion, what we're all wrapped around, is the death of a guy, right?
Right. George, okay. I guarantee you we'll go into the insanity of Christmas in the second half. But at least for now, when we got like a couple of minutes left, we'll keep it nice and happy. Tell me about your most positive Christmas experience. If it's as a Jew, I can totally respect it. It's like,
we got a tree and I got a lot of presents, you know?
Okay, cool.
And the presents weren't clothing, because I hated getting clothing.
No, weren't dreidels or anything like that, right?
Oh, dreidel's ridiculous. You know, you see, you spin the dreidel, it spins around, it falls down, big deal.
Forget about it.
You know, so what? But
Hanukkah? Would be Hanukkah be the better answer? Like, did you ever have a big Hanukkah celebration, even as an atheist?
No, because I don't care about that either, you know?
I thought that there was chocolate involved in the dreidel games.
There sure is. Yeah, you
know, there are
everyone wanted to play with them so they could have this chocolate. That's how
it's called Hanukkah gelt. Gelt means gold. Right. And they're coins that are, they're like a heavy aluminum foil that is gold plated, and they're filled with chocolate. And they're very, very thin. They're coin thickness. So there's not a whole hell of a lot of chocolate in them.
And they're not even a good bar.
It's very frustrating because you got to peel all this stuff off, and there's hardly any.
I'm down with anything involving chocolate.
Yeah, me too. Dark chocolate, especially.
Dark chocolate, also good. Guys, we're going to go into the insanity of Christmas after the second half. I promised I would. But before we do that, let's do a quick break before we reach the top of the half hour.
All right, this is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Are you going to a dance? Your father and I have no objections to church or school-sponsored dances, but we surely don't want you going to any of those local places like that cuckoo club.
Everything will be all right. don't go to God's house anymore.
To the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now let's talk just for a second about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 19th year. ASK has over 1,000 members, and we have weekly in-person meetings in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Taproom and Pizzeria. Look for us now inside, since it's winter, at the High Top Tables. We're usually the loudest and the happiest group there. If you'd like to join our Tuesday evening Zoom meeting, you can email us at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com.
Repeat that, Larry.
No, it's good. You can keep going, Larry.
You can find us online at Facebook, meetup.com, or at knoxvilleatheist.org. Or just Google Knoxville Atheist. Just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you could still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. That's right. One back where you'd want to pick up.
I was still trying to turn up the captions, so I'm sorry if I was some technical difficulties. I hope everyone now sees them all in caps lock now. They should be as loud as they possibly can be. Guys, we're talking about the insanity of Christmas. You know, over the show, I'll admit, we had a little break to discuss that with George, that Christmas is not about the death of a guy. And I think we're all on the same page. That's Easter, right? Yeah. But you're the organic atheist in the room. So we're totally on the same level now. But it's very sweet. It's like that's the impression that you can go through your entire life being like Easter and Christmas. They're basically the same thing, right? It's like, I love it. I would love to have that kind of like non-indoctrinated mindset. we're going to go with John Richards, Insanity of Christmas, things you can eat, what pudding, sausages, those shouldn't be mixed together. What's going on here?
It's because I'm worried about you guys. You've eaten all your turkeys at Thanksgiving, so I've got to provide some alternative menu for you, and I suggest Toad in the Hole. Now, to make Toad in the Hole, you
get Toad in the Hole.
All right. It's a egg and plain flour batter with a little milk to loosen it up. You put it in a pan full of hot fat, and then you lay your sausages in it, cook it for about 40 minutes in the oven. Delicious.
Wow.
It sounds like sausage biscuits.
Toad in the Hole.
Yep.
Sausage biscuits? Anyone?
In Texas, we eat tamales.
Oh, I love tamales. Yeah, that's a good one. Yes. You know, tamales. And the last Christmas I spent with my family, we just ordered pizza. And I think, you know, that just saved everybody because we didn't have to spend that time cooking, more time with each other, and no leftovers because everybody loves pizza. You can get it any way you want.
I want to remind you that in Gene Shepherd's Christmas Story movie, they all go out for Chinese food.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know,
I love that. I love that film. That was a great film.
It's likely to be 1 year where I won't have to hear the Peanuts theme or hear about that movie for at least 1 year. But it's not this year. But thank you, George. You can check that off the list. But I haven't heard the Peanuts theme yet. So who knows? Who knows? Boudreaux, tell me about The Insanity of Christmas. There's something about scenes that you want to talk about?
Scenes, yeah. And I'm, for the people that are watching this, they'll get a little extra bonus, but I'm going to attempt to put a background on mine.
Ah, there you go.
Nicely done.
So seriously, there is a company that makes a nativity scene for like a lawn ornament, and it's this bright white thing. People usually take a light and shine it on it, and two of my neighbors have it. There are dozens in the neighborhood down the street, all kind of the same. They seem to be the same manufacturer. And I don't know if someone who worked for them just got in there and got a little creative with the design, or maybe my brain has just mapped this so well. But this nativity scene looks like two dinosaurs.
Okay.
It's a Jurassic Christmas.
Now I see it. It's like two weird crazy hand puppets.
Every time we drive by,
this like, won't be great for radio, but yeah, they look like dinosaurs. Imagine the nativity scene with dinosaurs.
So we're driving by as a family, and every time we drive by one of these, we could be in the middle of a conversation. We could have somebody else in the car that doesn't know. Just the whole family goes, "Rawr." Every time.
It's kind of like Punch Bug, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah, and it's
I love it. I love it. I love that mindset. I love it. I think it falls right into The Insanity of Christmas for me. I also feel personally like the nativity narrative is probably like the best cover-up story for teen pregnancy, like in the last two millennia. It's just amazing. Can't believe that story still stuck and it hasn't worked for anybody else. Well, it's great. Any other comments on the nativity scene or insanity of it?
Well, I appreciated the Church of Satan, and wasn't it down in Texas where they had you know, the government had put up in front of one of the official buildings, they had put up a nativity scene, and the Church of Satan came along and put up a statue of Baphomet.
Oh,
it was very cool. It certainly drew a lot of attention. So eventually, the government relented and took the nativity scene down.
Nice. Yeah. Speaking of iconography, Sky, you had a story about the Christmas tree.
I just had a comment that I can't give a citation for. I just know it's in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says that you should not decorate trees with silver and gold as the pagans do. And that kind of segues into the fact that I've got tons of notes on Christmas. And it seems like just about everything about Christmas is pagan.
Yeah. Are you dare calling Christianity hypocritical? I got to put you on.
I wouldn't go that far.
I would. So fine. Hey, Dread Pirate, what's up?
It's it's Jeremiah 10, verses 1-5.
Thank you.
Not bad.
Can I just come in there? Over it.
Yeah, go on, John.
Because I did Global Atheist News yesterday, of course, and one of the hot items is about a bishop in Sicily, you know, the island off the bottom of Italy, who wanted to promote the Christian aspect of Christmas. So what he actually did was denigrated Santa Claus. He said it was a myth. And the real thing, of course, he meant the real thing was
Santa's not real.
Well, exactly. That's what happened. All the parents on their Facebook site came out and said, "How dare you? How dare you dash the hopes and wishes of my children who I've been indoctrinating with Santa Claus?" And in the end, somebody had to correct it for him.
Really?
Robert Gray says that Santa Claus is actually Odin.
But you gotta, I think that priest got a small glimmer of what it's like to be an atheist and try to talk about God, you know, for the first time in his life, probably. He's just like, oh, whoa, this is weird. Maybe I should have better evidence. Why aren't you convinced with good evidence? There's a lack of evidence. You shouldn't believe in this thing. Wait, what am I doing?
You got a slapping anyway.
Anyway, praise be to Santa. Guys, we're going to go into a more extended topic. Dread Pirate, you want to talk about the Christmas story?
Well, we attended a online series of lectures hosted by Bart Ehrman, who's a very well-known New Testament scholar and historian. And so he touched on, you know, many of the things we, you know, consider the insanity of Christmas, including virgin birth. And one of the more interesting things I learned right off the bat was about the fulfillment of prophecy that I believe is in Matthew, where the author spends a great deal. Of course, it wasn't Matthew that wrote this. It was probably 70 years after Jesus was around. But it goes into great detail about the genealogy and the lineage from Abraham down through the house of David, and that Joseph is the direct descendant through that genealogical line. But of course, it's not lost on historians and other people who regard this with a little more skepticism that Joseph was not Jesus's father. Wow. God was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it kind of throws a pretty significant wrench into the whole Christian cogwheel there. You know, and that's certainly not the least of issues. The virgin birth, as someone, I think John pointed out, it's not the first time that, you know, teen pregnancy has had a story to you know, kind of cover it up. And interestingly enough, virgin births or claims of virgin birth continue to happen.
Yep.
Even right up to this day. And sure. I'm sure when I was watching Bart Ehrman, this was maybe 2 weeks ago, something had one of these virgin birth claims had just actually recently been made. So it's not the first time, and it certainly won't be the last.
And resurrection, just miracle after miracle with all these different kinds of cults that are around the world. And some people even claiming to be Jesus Christ himself come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there is a great documentary called No Man Beyond This Point that is fairly recent. I think it's a 2020 movie that came out on Amazon. It's a documentary about alternate reality. So it's still fictional, but it's filmed as if it's a documentary, where women now only give virgin births. So like the only propagation of humanity is by women just giving virgin births only. And they cite in the movie claims of virgin births since Mary all the way up until like the 1950s. And people weren't giving them enough credit until now all the women are doing it. And then all of society basically turns upside down because all the men have to be put into like tiny little camps where they can play video games and talk about how to barbecue the right kind of food. And the women will run the world because they don't need the men anymore. Right, and it's the most funnest thing because like one of the men want to escape and he's just like, this world's so different. Everything, there's too many options for pants and their pockets aren't big enough. I don't know what's going on. And it's a fun, dumb movie.
Hey, well, what's the name of it?
No Men Beyond This Point. Okay. I believe it could even be a Canadian movie, Dread. I would highly recommend you check it out.
Of course, if there was such a thing as virgin birth, it would only be daughters that were produced.
Right. Like parthenogenesis, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so no Jesus.
No, exactly. Or it could be a female Jesus. I mean, Joanna or somebody.
Yeah. You know, the weird thing about the whole virgin birth situation that bothers me personally is that it tends to, unless if you have some way of randomizing DNA, right? You're still stuck with what essentially the sequence that you pull from the mom went, because even her mitochondrial DNA is going to be pulled from her line. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't give us enough variation to what I think kept us alive, just by the fact that when you combine DNA, you get like a really weird combination that might give you some advantages, may not give you some advantages, but more often than not, keeps the variation long enough that any cataclysmic event won't kill all of us at once. And I feel like that's been the testament, this trial and error that we've had through the natural birth that we've been having, I know in the future we'll be able to probably design people better, but like I am an advocate of like this naturalistic system that got us to this point. I will say that. I'm also going to throw this out too. The scariest thing for me about the virgin birth situation is that for Jesus to be a male, as you had pointed out, John Richards, and for him to be an actual human being, full-on normal human being, as he quotes himself to be and claims to be, he needs to have DNA from a partner, which means that DNA had to come from God, which mm-hmm. means God has to have a genotype. Mm-hmm. And if God has a genotype, how disappointing must be this guy.
And God's genotype must include a Y chromosome too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. John's, or it must have included a nice pair of abs that everyone keeps putting on. But like, if Jesus did look, in fact, the way how he purportedly by the Catholic Church as like a very oddly Italian looking man in Mesopotamian Bronze Era, you know, it's unfortunate that God has all these features, because now it's pretty easy to indicate what God looks like, and that's a very disappointing person in terms of like looks. It's not at all. It sucks that you can, that enough that we came up with that story and didn't think about the consequences of the science and backtracking it when we had a better understanding of it. It strikes me as a story that we came up with not a very good understanding of genetics and it, unfortunately. Yeah. Also, Larry, what's up?
Oh, sorry, you're on the mute. I was just going to throw a couple of things out there, but that I observed about the insanity of the Christmas story itself, just the sheer rudeness of God. He didn't ask Eve. I mean, not Eve, but Mary, if she wanted to have the kid. Yeah. When it was time to tell her that she was going to be pregnant, he didn't do it himself. He sent a messenger boy. Oh, he didn't show up at the birth, and he didn't show up at the death.
He didn't pay any child support.
Yeah. He's like a dead end dad, you know, kind of.
No.
And it's totally impersonal. And getting
worst dead end dad possible.
Yeah. Virgin birth, Eve, for all intents and purposes, was not born of a woman. And she should have been a clone. If he made her from the rib of a man, Eve, why wasn't she a man? She should have just been a clone of the man. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of problems with these stories if you take even 2 seconds to think about them.
Yeah.
Hey, go, Dred.
Yeah, I was one of the things that Bart had pointed out too was the incongruity between this idea of the virgin birth, and in another gospel, Mary chiding Jesus for presuming to teach in the temple. If it was her understanding that she was having the child of God, she would have known, of course, that he's more than qualified to teach in the temple. Well, it's actually, like, it's a pretty glaring thing. Exactly.
Like, what's going on here? You're like, I'm pretty qualified, Mom. Thank you. It's like, hey, George, what's up? That's a great one.
I have a question, and I don't know if we'll be able to answer it, but let me throw it out there. Is there any difference between the way the Catholics celebrate or view this story and the way the Protestants do?
Not that much. I think the most difference between Catholicism and Protestantism is just structure of the church and who's the authorities. But
And what you're allowed and not allowed to do.
Yeah. Well, and of course, it's bifurcated a lot.
Yeah.
And it's bifurcated a lot. But it's
one of the biggest differences between the Protestant and Catholic is that Catholic want to read the Bible and tell you what it means. Protestants encourage you to read the Bible for yourself. Right. That was the whole thing about the Reformation.
Mm-hmm. Ujo was actually raised Catholic. What's up?
I did want to quickly point out to Sky. Sky, if you just put your hand up, you'll have an easier time to interject, because I hear you trying to say things, and it's hard to hear. And to me, the Catholicism, the one thing that blows my mind talking about insanity is transubstantiation, where you're literally eating the body of Christ, and that's
a great one.
Ritual cannibalism. Wow.
And it's not just on Christmas. You do that like almost every other weekend.
Every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. If you got a good church, they always have the grape juice ready. I will throw this out. Here's my crazy one. The fact that we don't appreciate Joseph, I think that's the stepdad of Jesus, as a good father figure, because here's a guy could have just done whatever he wanted. It's like, oh, you're pregnant. I don't want to deal with that. I literally can get stoned for stuff like that. He's like, no. Mm-hmm. I'm going to step up. I'm going to still be your friend. I'm going to make sure you're warm. I'm going to make sure I'm going to be there at the birth. And I'm going to teach this kid useful traits that he'll need for a career, because I'm a carpenter. I'm going to teach this kid to make a chair. Okay, he's not good at making chairs. That's totally fine. We're going to work with this kid. Okay, he's preaching. He talks a lot. I'll get him out of trouble. He's always there trying to get Jesus out of trouble. And Jesus is always like, I'm going to die on a cross one day. And Jesus is like, you're going to make your mom cry. Can we please just like calm it down a little bit? Best father, like one of the best fathers in the book. Better than God, I'd say that. Let's see, who was next? George.
He showed up anyway.
He showed up, that's right.
I've been thinking about the emasculation of men originating in the Catholic Church. So the word father is interesting, because father, God usurps the role of men when we refer to God as our Heavenly Father, our Father. We refer to the priests in Catholicism as Father. That tends to diminish the role of an authentic father.
And Jewish people, they say Father.
Well, I don't know what Jewish people you know, but
let's leave it to the last words. Dred, what's your last words on this topic? We'll get the free thought.
I was going to say that one thing that was pointed out as well was that Joseph, in all likelihood, was the age of a great grandfather, and and Mary was likely around 13.
Whoa, that probably makes sense. Gotta be honest with you, John. Tell us about this thing you want to plug.
Well, before I do that, I want to refer to a meme where there's Mary and she's cradling the baby Jesus, and she's trying to get her head around the fact that the Father and the Son are the same. And who was I impregnated by?
All right, that's a dark note. Thank you, John.
That's hilarious.
John, go ahead.
Yeah, what I want to plug is Free Thought City. It's a new social media site. It's civil. It's got a city that you can visit with your friends, meet new people, and it's time zone so that you can come out of the virtual world into IRL, in real life, and meet up the people that you met there here, if you see what I mean. And and it's, so go to it. It's got a Kickstarter now, freethought.city/Kickstarter.
Nice.
There are all sorts of videos on there, and we're doing a campaign. So tomorrow I'm going to launch a song. I think the modern term is drop a song. And it's written by, the lyrics are written by Richard Dawkins. So look out for that. There will be something happening every day.
What's the URL?
freethought.city/Kickstarter.
No .com or anything?
Doesn't need that. No, it'll go straight there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dot City is a new one to me.
Fujo, anything you want to check out? Anything we should check out before next year or next week? Got too excited.
You can check out behind me where the kids made a tent last night.
They're always making tents and forts. I love it.
No, I guess I don't really have anything, guys, except giveworld.org. I think I plugged it before. It's a great organization that really focuses on what charities do the most good. So you're not, just giving some, Goodwill CFO. Bigger jet. Really vetted charities, Goodwill, givewell.org.
Givewell.org. Dred, Pirate, is there anything that we should check out before next week?
Yeah, I just want to, we've got a couple live watchers on the show here. Dadas, Trading Room, he's always watching. He's talking about a film called Sekmizja. It's a Polish film, S-E-K-S-M-I-S-J-A. They have some different Christmas traditions that some people might find interesting. So check that out. And Loma says retcon. I don't know what that means, R-E-T-C-O-N. But you can check this show out live on Sundays on my YouTube channel, Mind Pirate. That's M-I-N-D-P-Y-R-A-T-E. I broadcast this live at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So come check me out. And if you like it, please subscribe. I'm still at 98.
Oh, man.
Sky, anything that you would recommend we check out before for next week?
Not really.
Okay.
Can't think of a single thing.
George, same question. Anything we should check out before next week?
No.
Fair enough. Guys, listen, it's holidays, and there's going to be animals that won't be adopted during this time because people won't be looking for adoptions at this time, which means dogs will be in kennels, and cats that could be adopted or friendlier won't have anyone to play with or humanize themselves to. And so if you are nearby an animal shelter and you have time over the holiday season, I'd recommend checking out volunteer work, see if you can walk some dogs and shed some love. Money is always useful, but personal time with animals means more to an animal than dollars. I think if you can afford to give that time, it'd be really, really nice. Hey, buddy, I hear you too. Also, this is a rescue animal too. Here's Vinny.
Yeah,
he's so good. Such a nice cat. Larry, why don't you take us out if you had anything else?
Sure. My own content can be found at digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to go there and click the blog button for radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on this subject. I have a book out on atheism called Atheism, What It's All About. It's available on Amazon. And you can find my YouTube channel by searching for Doubter 5 or Larry Rhodes. If you have any questions for the show, you can send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. We can answer them on future shows. If you're having trouble leaving religious beliefs behind, and many people do, you can get help by going to recoveringfromreligion.org. I highly recommend it. Thank you for joining us on the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Remember, you can find this show on Apple iTunes, Pocket Casts, Amazon, and podcasts everywhere. Just search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next week. Say bye, everybody.
Merry Christmas!